Technique number two. This is a unique approach to a bank-owned property. As you know, when banks loan money, they will take back a mortgage on the property that they're loaning on. And we also know that when the property goes into default, if it does, the banks are going to take back that property as an REO, meaning real estate owned. They will foreclose on the property. If you would go into a bank today, almost any bank, and you said, what kind of REO properties do you have? They're going to have probably a whole variety. But which properties of all the kinds that they loan on are generally going to be the most difficult for them to sell? Land. Vacant land would certainly be one. Partially completed condominium projects would be another one. Commercial. Partially completed commercial projects, what, Bob?
Commercial.
Partially completed commercial, right. I mean, if you go to a bank and you talk to them about REOs, you would love to have them say, well, we got a great little three-bedroom home in a suburb, and it's got two baths, and it's a bread-and-butter property for $65,000, but that just doesn't happen. It really doesn't. In fact, I became very irate. I heard of a condominium in Charlotte, North Carolina, that was on the market. It had a value of about $60,000 to $62,000, and an REO, it was taken back as an REO by a savings and loan, and I called the lender, and I said, what are you asking for it? He said, well, we don't know. He said, what are you willing to offer? So I faxed him an offer. It's going to require about $4,000 or $5,000 work, and I faxed him an offer of $41,780, and I didn't hear from him. I finally called him back, and he said, well, we've got to take it to committee, and one of the people are sick. Called him back again, and he said, now we've got a problem with someone traveling. It was like this for 2 or 3 weeks. Finally, I called him. He said, oh, we got a better bid. I said, I wasn't aware that I was bidding. He said, well, yeah, we got a better bid. We sold it for $49,800. Would I have paid $49,000? Sure, I would have. Just one of those matters of communication that I lost out because I wasn't local and because I wasn't aware of the circumstances under which I was bidding. I would probably have gone in at a higher price and even asked them for financing, but I figured with a potential $15,000 profit with a little bit of fix-up, it was worth doing it the way I did it. Anyway, if you go into a bank and you ask them about the REOs that they're having the greatest amount of problem getting rid of, it's probably going to be vacant land. Now, here's what you got to remember. When a lender, a bank, loans money on vacant land, they generally will not loan more than 50% of the value of vacant land unless it is an approved subdivision, a lot in an approved subdivision, then they will go up to 75%. So if they've got a tract of land, whatever they've got in that probably represents about 50% of the value of that property. Now here's another fact that most people don't know, and that is that banks, when they take back an REO, will have that property appraised immediately to determine its value for their books. They always have it appraised. So if you can determine that a bank has a piece of vacant land, let's assume that they've got $60,000, I think this corresponds with the figures in the book, $60,000 in a piece of vacant land, it would not be unrealistic for you to ask the bank what the appraisal showed, and it should show a fair market value of $120,000. Now let's say that you said to that banker, we're not going to do this because we don't like vacant land, but let's say that we said to that banker, would you be willing to loan $60,000 on that piece of vacant land? If you will, I will buy it from you. The chances, unless you are an extremely creditworthy borrower, the chances of them loaning $60,000 to you are very remote because they've been through foreclosure one time. They don't want to do it again, but we're not going to even try that. I was just going to put that in as an aside. What I want you to do, having identified a situation like this, I want you to go to your buyer's broker and tell them to go through their multiple listing book and see if they can't come up with a larger property, for example, a multifamily property that might be on the market with a fairly low mortgage. And so they find one. Here's this multifamily property. It's on the market for $260,000. It's an apartment building. There is a $115,000 mortgage that may or may not be assumable. The seller's equity is $145,000. What you do is offer the seller of this property, You offer to buy it for $260,000. You tell them that you will give them, no, you tell them that you're going to assume the first mortgage. If it's not assumable, you'll make it contingent upon financing. You're going to give them the piece of vacant land as a down payment on the property. If they will sell you that way, sell the building that way, contingent upon you getting the vacant land. What you would then do would be to go back to the same bank, and the book here contemplates, in order to make it a little bit sweeter for the seller of property, you're even willing to give them a premium of $275,000 for their apartment building. If you have to, do it. You certainly wouldn't start out that way. You go back to the bank that has the piece of vacant land, and you say, I will buy that piece of vacant land from you for your full asking price of $60,000, provided you will give me a new first mortgage or a second mortgage. Can banks make second mortgage loans? Sure they can. Or a second mortgage on an apartment building that I'm about to buy. Now here's this apartment building for $260,000. As an investor, how much can you borrow from a bank on an apartment building? Tom, what's your experience? Yeah, sometimes 80. Let's assume that you borrow 80%. 80% times $260,000 is $208,000, if my math is correct. Is that right? $208,000. Now watch this. This is presuming, by the way, that this mortgage here is not assumable. To a degree, some of these figures correspond with what's in your book, but we're pretending in your book like the mortgage is assumable. And we're also pretending like, in order to make it sweeter for the seller, we're willing to pay a premium for the property and give them $275,000. Let's, in this case, take a worst-case scenario and say that the mortgage is not assumable. We got $208,000 lying here on the table. How are we going to use it? Number one, we're going to pay off the non-assumable first mortgage of $115,000. When we do that, that's going to leave $93,000 left. You with me? This $93,000 will then be used to buy the land from the bank. That's going to leave $33,000. Now, in our offer to the seller, we said, seller, you've got $145,000 equity in the property. We're going to give you the vacant land at full appraised value as a down payment, and we now owe you $25,000. If you've gotten an 80% mortgage on the property and you've paid off the first mortgage and you've bought the vacant land from the bank, that's going to leave you with $33,000. If we pay $25,000 to the seller, we've got $8,000 left that we can put in our pocket. Win-win situation here. I know there are many people who have properties on the market for sale that are not selling that would love to have an offer for full price or even a little bit of a premium and would take vacant land in trade. I've been in that position where I would have. What have you really paid for this property? What is your cost of this property? The mortgage amount of $208,000, plus if you subtract from that the cash you're going to put in your pocket. Remember, we got to give the seller $25,000. We had $33,000 left after buying the vacant land and after paying off the mortgage. We got $33,000 left. We got $8,000 in our pocket. We really paid $200,000 for that property. Everyone okay with this technique? Do you understand? I borrowed 80% against the purchase price of $260,000. That's $208,000. The $208,000 is lying here on the table. $115,000 went to pay off the old mortgage. $93,000 was then left. I used $60,000 of the $93,000 to buy the land from the bank. That left $33,000. I gave the seller $25,000 of the $33,000. That left me $8,000 cash that I put in my pocket. Now, when the smoke clears, I owe $208,000 in the form of a first mortgage to the bank. So $208,000 minus the $8,000 I put in my pocket is $200,000. Am I right? But still, if that's the case, I bought the property for about 75% of value. Anytime you can use something at full face value, whether it's a debt asset, whether it's a zero coupon bond, whether it's a piece of vacant land you're buying from a bank that's in foreclosure, I mean an REO property, and can convert that to equity in an income property, boy, you're in great shape. Very good, Tom. Thank you. That is an excellent idea. He said he has used that with realtors before, giving them a dead asset in lieu of a commission. If they're not willing to loan the commission to you, at least would you take my sailboat that's worth about $5,000, and that happens to be the brokerage commission that is due you, and they say yes. Good point. Thank you, Tom. Rich is saying, what is the owner, what in the world is the owner going to do with that piece of vacant land that really is high priced? Well, I don't know, Rich. Let's look at it this way. If it appraises for $120,000 based on comparable sales in the area, and that's what the bank determined, then it's really not overpriced. It is at retail price. What's he going to do with it or what's she going to do with it? I don't know. We've got to presume here that the owner of this apartment building wants to sell the apartment more than he is not willing to take the vacant land and trade. And if you understood that, you are a lot better person than I am. The need to sell is greater than the resistance that they might have for a piece of vacant land. I love the thought of taking cash out at closing, and it doesn't happen a lot, as I've said, but it'll never happen if you're not tuned in to the techniques that will allow you to do that. Recently, I developed a videotape, taking cash out at closing, that if you're interested in pursuing more techniques or developing a kind of an expertise in this area, this video is available through the assistance of the Professional Education Institute. How to take cash out at closing when you buy property.